because you love everybody, you're fooling yourself. Only God, somebody say only God. Only God can give us the strength to let go of a Category 3 trauma. Listen to Mandela's word as he spoke when he was released. He preached at a Christian church. And listen to his word. He says on Easter, the good news born by our risen Messiah, who chose not one race, who chose not one country, who chose not one language, who chose not one tribe, who chose all of humankind. Each Easter marks the rebirth of our faith. It marks the victory of our risen Savior over the torture of the cross and the grave. Our Messiah, somebody say, our Messiah, who came to us in the form of a mortal man, but who by his suffering, somebody say suffering, and crucifixion attained immortality. Our Messiah, I'm talking about Mandela words, born like an outcast in a stable, executed like a criminal on the cross. Our Messiah, whose life bears the testimony to the truth that there is no shame in poverty. Those who should be ashamed are those who impoverish others. Whose life testifies to the truth that there is no shame in being persecuted. Those who should be ashamed are those who persecute others. Whose life proclaims the truth that there is no shame in being conquered. Those who should be ashamed are those who conquer others. Whose life, talking about Jesus, proclaims the truth that there is no shame. There's no shame in being dispossessed. Those who should be ashamed are those who dispossesses others. Talking about Jesus, he says that we ought not be ashamed when others oppress us. Those who should be ashamed are the oppressors themselves. Psalm 22 speaks in that spirit. And I'm talking about Category 3 when it's structural, when the whole world seems to be against you, when the system is unjust. How do we forgive that kind of injustice when the world seems to be against us? David faced that kind of injustice. I don't know how he did it again. I'm just human. I'm preaching about forgiveness, but I got work to do. Somebody say, I got work to do. Think about David as he utters these words in Psalm 22. David was just minding his business, tending to his father's sheep. He didn't ask to be anointed king. As a boy, God anoints a king after Saul because Saul did not obey God, and God replaces Saul with David. And because David killed Goliath, that the people began to say and sing, Saul has slain his thousands or 10,000 or thousands, and David his 10,000, and Saul is outraged that David gets more praise than the king. And he is enraged with jealousy, not because King David was seeking it, because God has anointed him and called him to that place. Saul wants to kill him. What am I trying to get y'all to get? Because I'm wrestling with this thing as an African American. I'm like, you know, why folks hate us just because we black? I'm just trying to live like you. I want to raise my kids like you. I want to love like you. My son was on his way back from to school the other day on the train, and a white woman was berating a black couple because the baby was crying just like any baby, and Caleb had enough. And he says, why are you messing with them? Why don't you leave them alone? They don't have to do it. You know what that woman said? Why are you talking to me? You just like dirt. That's what she said. You have no right to even speak to me. And say, I'm going to call the police. Caleb said, call the police. But this is the world calm down. I don't want to get you going. I don't want to let that out. I don't want to let that out in church, Don. Yeah. What am I saying? This is the world in which we live. And if you don't have God in your heart, it'll keep you angry. It'll keep you bitter. And I heard somebody made the motion like I would have slapped her. It'll keep you slapping, but you're going to be slapping all day long because they keep coming. David was under this Category 3 life-shattering situation with the kingdom of Israel chasing him, thank you, and trying to kill him. I want us to really let that settle in. It wasn't just one person. It's the whole kingdom with Saul and all his forces chasing him. Guess what? For nothing. And the lesson that we learn from David, and again, David, I understand he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had the king of his army murdered because he was trying to cover it up. I get that. I was like, well, how does he become the man after God's own heart? Because David still loved and respected God, even in his weaknesses. Yeah. How do I know that, Reverend Barnes? Because as Saul is hunting him like an animal for eight, and he just cuts off his cloak in one area. He takes his water glove, a jug and spear in another. And I'm like, wait a minute now. Yeah. That's the Detroit coming out in Reverend Barnes. Get him. Yeah. Now we talking real. We being real. But if somebody's trying to kill me, I'm a Marine. Somebody trying to kill me, and God allowed me to sneak up on them. It's on and popping, Don. But that's why David is a man after God's own heart. Because David remembered that God put Saul in position. He knew that God had anointed Saul even in his evil way, his straying from God's plan. That was God's job. Somebody say it was God's job. To take him out. And David, somebody say David, had learned to wait on the Lord. If you're going to let God be God, even over these Category 3 situations, and quite frankly, most of the time, we can't even change Category 3 structural societal ills. We've got to let God be God. David knew that God had anointed Saul, and so he would not kill him, even though he gave him two opportunities to take him out. David had to do what we have to do unless you're going to live in angst and anxiety. You've got to surrender even these structural Category 3 situations to God. Somebody say, I surrender all. I want us to look at David because he was sought by the system for 8 years for an unjust offense that he did not commit. He passed on killing Saul two times when God had put him in his hands, and he says, who will stretch out his hand against God's anointing? We learn as we think about these structural Category 3 offenses by society against a person, against a people. We learn in South Africa, slavery in America, the Holocaust, Bosnia, Rwanda, mass incarceration, all of these structural offenses that can just poison your spirit. Maybe I'm speaking for myself, lights, hello. At some point in my journey, even wearing this robe, I had to process what was building up in me. Every time I saw an unarmed African-American getting gunned down without a gun. Every time I saw Zimmerman get off, every time I hear a student being called out there, I can go on and on. But I began to get a little resentment in my spirit. Why is this happening? Someone said, police know how to, take out folks who they think is armed and dangerous, because when they don't look like us, they come out walking just fine. You shoot up a school, if you don't look like us, you get arrested. Shoot up a church, you don't look like us, you get arrested. So it's not more training that they need. They know how to do it. They're just not doing it when it comes to us. And y'all know my background. I'm pro-law enforcement, but I'm just pro-justice. Amen. You know, but how do we deal with these structural Category 3 offenses that seem so crazy to me? We didn't ask to be African-American. God made us this way. And as James Brown said, I'm black. Say it loud. Dun, dun. I don't know where that came from, but amen. A little extra this morning, a little extra. But I'm encouraged this morning, as I'm trying to get folks to let it go so you can live. I'm encouraged this morning that not only David recognizes that in this fallen world, we're going to have injustice committed against people. We're not the only ones persecuted. We're not the only ones that have gone through some stuff. It's going to happen. And Jesus utters these words from the cross. And we need to resurrect them just from the seven last words. I'm almost tired of the seven last words because they are words that just shouldn't come around at Easter. They are words that we need to live by because God has modeled forgiveness from the cross. And if you recall, he says from the cross in his suffering from an unjust Roman system, in suffering from the Jewish leadership, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? We want to remember through Jesus' words three things about our suffering, a Category 3 offense from an unjust system, from a structural offense. First of all, we want to remember that Jesus and David teaches us, mainly Jesus, that Jesus joins us in our suffering from the cross. He joins the multitude of afflicted and oppressed people, and he becomes one with us. He identifies with us. He says, I know what it's like to be unjustly accused, even more than you, because all of us have done something wrong. Jesus says it, and he is absolutely innocent of everything. Yeah. Yes. Jesus joins us. You're not alone. He understands how it feels to be oppressed. He understands how it feels just to be being who God called you to be, and somebody want to kill and crucify you just because you are who God made you to be. He says, I understand you crying out, my God, my God. Why? Somebody say, Jesus understands. I don't know about you, but it helps me. Hebrews helped me that we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our affliction and our oppression. He knows. Because he experienced it in the flesh. Not only does Jesus identify and joins us in our oppression and affliction, these words remind us that he gives all of his followers permission to cry out to him when we are afflicted and oppressed. Go ahead and cry out for help. I said this and I'll say it again. The best thing about Donald Trump is that he has renewed my prayer life big time. I used to get on out today and skip on up the road. No, no, no. These are dangerous times. I go down to my father and say, God, you see what's going on? I need you every day and every hour. Some things we should have always been praying like that, no matter who's at the top, but I certainly know now. He encourages us, cry out for help in your affliction. And then thirdly, we find from these words echoed from Jesus from the cross, not only that he identifies with our affliction and our suffering, he not only encourages us to cry out for help, because when he said, my God, don't miss this, that means he didn't lose his faith. He was saying, my God, the one I have a relationship, my God, the one who kept me in the desert, my God who anointed me to be king, my God who saved my ancestors, my God who parted the Red Sea and caused water from a rock and bread from heaven, my God, I know you're real, but come and see about me. Somebody say, come see about me. When we are in these catastrophic category 3 structural societal afflictions, we must remember that Jesus understands he was under the same indictment. We must remember to cry out for help. My God hears us. And then lastly, these words show us that faith includes, somebody say includes, holding up the worst of life to God. Every day is not going to be sunny. Some of you have lost your children. Some of you have been divorced. Some of you have been incarcerated. Some of you have overcome an addiction. Whatever it is, this shows us, Jesus from the cross, whatever it is, part of our faith is holding that out to God, turning it over to God. That's part of our faith. I don't know about you, but when I turn it over to him, even when he doesn't deliver me immediately, there's a certain peace, there's a certain knowing that I'm not alone. And he has a way of making it all right. Somebody say, God gonna make it all right. My brothers and sisters, I'm trying to get some of the toxicity out of your spirit. You can't walk around here mad and full of resentment, because every time, resentment means that you are going back and reliving the pain and you are stuck in your woundedness. And I said a couple of weeks ago, this is the irreversible predicability. In other words, what has happened can't be undone. How do we move forward? We must. Somebody said we must. We must learn to forgive. I've been saying through Bill Hybels' book that he gives us action points for every category. And the action point for category 3 are loss. The first action point to a category 3 loss is that we must name what has happened to us. I'm not crazy. There are more of us going to jail. I'm not crazy. We're getting shot with no guns. I'm not crazy. Slavery was real. I'm not crazy. Folks are crossing the street when they see me, locking their doors and clutching their purses. Do I get a witness in here? We must name what has happened to us. Many who have experienced life-altering trauma at the hands of another find it helpful to set aside some time to relive the details of the ordeal, not for the purpose of rehashing the pain or remaining stuck, but in order to fully appreciate the depth of what happened. Yeah. Reading a police report of a drunken driver, attending a trial, speaking to those who have witnessed the incident, finding healthy ways to name what has happened to you. If you have unanswered questions, try to get some answers, then write it out in detail how you are hurt. The second marker action plan is not only to name it, but identify what you have lost. When you experience a significant wrongdoing, it can feel more comfortable to say at marker 1 on your grief journey to stay focused on what someone did. What have you lost? What have you lost? Somebody who lost their child, Heibel gives the example. In mile marker 1, he says, he or she drove drunk and killed my only daughter. And then in marker 2, what have you lost? I will never walk with my daughter down the aisle at her wedding. I will never hold her grandchild or my grandchild. Another example of marker 1, someone gambled away your life savings. What do you have to name? He gambled away all of our life savings. Marker 2, what have you lost? I have to work way past my retirement years. We have no finances. Another example of a category three, he or she treated on me in our marriage, we got a divorce, or we're in shambles, what have I lost? The purity of our marriage has been violated. I can never trust them again. When you name what happened to you and name what you have lost, you begin the healing process. Somebody say it's a journey. When you've been deeply wounded, I'm not asking you just to leave here and your life has changed and you're not going to feel that woundedness. I'm asking you to begin the journey. Because the third marker to this category is just be open to forgiveness. You got to be open. And I always say this, the best way to be open, no matter what has happened to you, is your grace narrative. What is that? Look at Jesus on the cross. If you can remember your grace narrative, that while you were yet sinners, nails went in his hands. While you were yet sinners, nails went in his feet. While you were yet sinners, they pierced his side. While you were yet sinners, he wore a crown of thorns and died. So don't tell me what you can't do when Jesus did it for you. Come on, somebody. I want somebody to be healed today. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been wounded. Some of you have dealt with child abuse. Some of you have been banded by your parents. Some of you have had addicted parents. Some of you have gone to jail for things that you shouldn't have. I know the offenses mount up because we are sinners. We hurt each other. But what I'm saying to you, there is no other way for you to move on than to forgive as you have been forgiven. Come on, let's give God some praise. Come on, Moriar. I want you through it all. Amen. As you stand to your feet, we're going to sing 402. Before we do it, we're going to have two prayers. Come on, deacons, you can get over here for the altar call. But those who still need God to help them work through some category three stuff, or any other categories, if you're holding on and you want to let go this morning, you've been trying, but you're like, Pastor, you don't understand. I've been wounded. I've been hurt. I need you, God. Come to the altar. I'm just going to pray for you. We're not going to anoint you with oil, but come to the altar. If you just want God to begin the journey of, maybe, you know, this sermon came out of some of us need to forgive God. Some of us need to get where Job was and say, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. I want you to be real this morning. If you are hurting and you don't want to say it, but it's in your spirit, you are mad at God for allowing you to suffer like he has. You have cried out silently, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want to pray for you. If you're here today, will you just come to the altar? If there's somebody that just needs to be released today, I want those persons or that person to come up first. If you're here today, you've been hurt. God wants to release you, so don't worry about the person next to you. When you've been hurt, only God can do it. If you're here today and you've been hurt by a parent, a child, a friend, by society, join hands with those at the altar. I'm going to pray for you first. And if somebody want to be released, you need to come. Come on, Moriah, just play softly. Oh, gracious and eternal God, I know I've said it. I just want to live, God. I didn't ask to be African-American, but I'm processing slavery and Jim Crow and folks who believe that we're just dirt. I'm processing the injustice of mass incarceration and all of the things that comes with being an African-American, where someone t- told another African American, you shouldn't go to Vermont or Maine. It's not safe there. Why isn't it safe? Just because I'm black? I'm processing lynching and all the things that we have to go through. We just want to live and love you, God, but why is it that we can't just do it like everyone else? My God, why? Somebody here, God, whether they're at the altar or in their seats, they've been abused. Maybe by a relative and even a parent or a step-parent. Someone has been unjustly fired and let go. Someone has lost their child, either through sickness or violence. And they may be too afraid to blame you, but there is a little blame there. There may be a little resentment there that you could have stopped it and you didn't. Remind them of your own son. There's no question that you loved him. There also is no question that he suffered and died. And he said the same words, my God, why? You were right there. You had a plan and a purpose for his unmerited suffering. And so you do it as well for us. He joins us in our suffering, God. He illustrates how we have to keep crying out for help for you. And he tells us to give you our pain, give you our suffering, give you our affliction. At the end, it's going to be all right. Lord, I'm praying for deliverance today. I'm praying that you'll set someone free. That they'll name what's happened. That they will identify what they have lost. And they'll begin the journey. Like the man in the Bible said, Lord, I believe that help my unbelief. Lord, they want to forgive, but help their unforgiveness. Set them free right now, God.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
And Lord, I pray that you'll forgive us for offending others.
Please, God.
Take away any hate.
Yes.
Take away all resentment.
Please, God.
We need you, God.
Yes.
This is unnatural. But help us to extend to others the grace we have received.
Yes, God.
I rebuke Satan out of our spirits this morning.
In the name of Jesus.
Deliver those at the altar in a special way.
Yes, God.
Help them to let go of the pain, the hurt. Teach them how to live life again.
Yes.
Without that which has been lost. Restore the years that the locusts have eaten.
Yes, God.
Renew us afresh this morning. Jesus. Everyone else who wants to come to the altar, come to the altar. The deacons are going to pray and then we're going to open up the doors of the church. If there's a need in your life or in the life of someone you love, you may join them at the altar. Let's just sing two verses of 402 through it all. Verses 1 and 3. Come on, Moriar, lead us in that as we join at the altar. Through it all, God will be there. No matter what you're going through it all, he will be there. Words should be on the screen. Verses 1 and 3. As we join at the altar, know today that through it all, you got to learn to trust in Jesus. Learn to trust in God. He'll never leave you nor forsake you.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know from wrong.
Well, Sister Pat, this is your song. Amen.
But in every situation, God gave me blessed salvation.
In prayer. Most gracious Father, we come today giving thanks.
Yes, Lord.
Thank
we
you,
gather
Lord.
Around this altar today to ask for forgiveness.
Yes. Yes, God.
You have always forgiven us, and we keep trying to do it right, but we don't always meet our expectations from you, God. So we ask you to please forgive us again and help us to live the way you want us to live.
Yes, God.
God, we ask that instead of complaining about what others are doing,
right.
that we will take a good look in the mirror
yes,
at our own faults.
Yes, God.
And we will try to change some of those things.
Yes, God.
Because we should not judge about how people dress. Mm. Because when they come to church, they come as they are. They
That's
come
right.
from the street sometime.
That's right.
And we have to remember, oh God, that some of us came from the streets.
That's right.
How we wore our mini skirts.
That's right.
And how some of the other people did other things.
That's right.
So we got to think back, God.
Thank you, Lord.
So that we can be here for those who are coming in and not run them away by the way we look at them.
In the name of Jesus.
Because we have no right to do that, God.
In the name of Jesus.
We thank you for everything that you do, God. We ask that you would watch over our children, God.
Watch over us, God.
Please go into the schools, God, and protect our children. Protect them all day while they're there, God, and bring them home safe. Those that don't have people, those that have people who are not saved in their homes, we ask that you lift them up so that they will come to know you, God. We ask that you would bless those people in Texas who lost their kids. It's happening so much, God.
Have mercy.
And only you, only you, God,
only you,
can be in charge of that. Because you are the one who is in charge of our lives. And we just thank you for everything that you do, God. We thank you for the healings that have gone forth in this church and everywhere else. We ask that those that are grieving now, that
comfort
you would
them,
touch
Lord.
Them in a special way, God. Help us to be there for them in their time of sorrow. We ask that you would watch over our pastor and continue to give him the word. Thank you, God, for the healings of the mind.
Yeah, God. Thank you.
Thank you, God, for the sermons on forgiveness.
Bless your name.
We hold a lot of things sometimes.
That's right.
And we don't need to do it. And I just thank you, God, for giving him that vision and that word so that we can heal in this place
Please, God.
And go forth in what you would have us do.
Please,
God, we love you. We honor you. And we bless you today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God.
Amen. Amen. Bless your name. Thank you so much, Deacon Brian and Michael. If you're here today and you may be at the altar and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, we invite you to do so now. The doors of the church are open. If you're here today, Moriah, let's sing verse number 2 of that Through It All 402. If you're here today, we just want to pause and see if there's someone who needs the forgiveness of God through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Please stand. If you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, as we sing verse number 2, we're just going to pause. If you haven't joined a church, and we invite you to join this church, but most importantly, if you're here today and you haven't accepted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, we invite you to just step out an aisle and someone will help you walk down and accept Jesus Christ. If you're here today, will you do it? Don't delay. Don't delay. Verse number 2, I've been to lots of places. I've seen lots of faces. Let's sing that together.
I've been in lots of places.
Is there one here today?
And I've seen a lot of faces. There have been times I felt so
alone. This is our last appeal. Is there one here today who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ?
But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours,
yes,
Jesus let me know that I was his own.
Through it all, how many can say that this morning?
Through it all,
through it all, God,
through it all,
I've learned to trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God,
through it all. I've learned
to depend through it all
upon his word.
Let's sing that one more time. Through it all.
Oh, through it all, yes, through it all. Through it all, through it all.
Through it all. I've learned. I've learned to trust in Jesus.
Learn to depend upon his word.
Amen, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. None came, yet there is still room. At this time, we'll have our special announcements.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Be celebrating. This afternoon at 3:30, our usher board will be celebrating their 56th anniversary, with the guest preacher being Reverend Calvert Brantley of Zion Baptist Church. All are encouraged.
Right now, amen. Amen. Great job. Great job. Amen. We appreciate all of you. Amen.
Special thank you to Adult Singles Pre-Mother's Day Fellowship. You're asked to please follow up with your self-care survey. Group three will meet on tomorrow, May 21st. That's going to be at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. And group 12 is meeting on Tuesday at 6 p.m. also in the Fellowship Hall. Just be mindful that there's no Bible study or Wednesday night prayer on May 30th as we prepare our summer schedule. In this regard, remember our first 9:30 worship service starts on June 3rd. All We Are One groups are asked to sign up to help out with the Sidewalk Sunday School for just 1 week during the summer. The sign-up sheets are available in the narthex. Be mindful also that there will be an end-of-the-year meeting for the Judah dancers and family members on May 30th in Founders Hall. You're asked to please RSVP with Melba Lee, Deacon Melba Lee, as soon as possible. The iHeart New Haven is scheduled for July 28th. You're asked to please fill out the registration cards that are in your bulletin and come out and serve the community so God may be glorified by our collective witness.